Amen. Well, I bid you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bid you greetings from Chicago, where God lives. And he's here in Nashville, too. It's cold in Chicago. But we got some prayer warriors working right now. Let's lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we do thank you so much for this awesome work that Dr. Cirillo has been given stewardship over. And we thank you also for this awesome group of people that have come out today and who are hearing this message, that they'll be changed forever. We thank you also for the anointing that rests on this place, on this ministry, and on me, that I may speak forth your word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. I ask you to think through my mind, speak to my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And now, Father, we give you the praise for not only the word, but for signs, wonders, and miracles confirming that word. Father, we thank you for it, and we give you praise and honor you in Jesus' name. Can some believers shout amen? Take a seat, please. Who said that? Come in. Come in. Come in. Come up here. Just one person come. No, not two. Not two. If two comes, I'm not talking to one. I got $100 for you. Now,
go, Pastor.
Who said that? You should expect to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. If you don't expect the supernatural, you won't see the supernatural. You've got to expect it. Say, I'm expecting. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get into the Word of God here. Let me set my clock. Let's open your Bibles, please. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. You know what I would do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. Wouldn't you? To be saved is the best place to be in this hour. Because God is doing some wonderful things for saved folks. Now, he loves everybody. But how many of you know I do more for my wife than I do for you? So, we're going to look at this, and let's just call this, just for the sake of title. Sometimes people want titles on things and so forth. But we'll call it Living. I'm not used to holding a microphone. We'll make it. Living in the supernatural rest. Living in the supernatural rest. All right. If it's all right if I pull my jacket off. It's really warm in here.
Yes, sir.
Don't put that on now, because that's what. Let's start here. I want to start reading in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, And that word fear means believe. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto you is the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any of you fall after the same, at any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Living in the supernatural rest. This is very important today because the Bible talks about, in 2 Timothy, I think, chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible talks about in the last days perilous times shall come. And that word perilous, if you look it up in other translations, it says things like this, times hard to deal with. In the last days. Now, we are in the last days. Since the time of really outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we're in the last days. And another translation says, times of great pressure. So there's pressure on people. And this world, because of it being laboring under the strain of a curse that came back when Adam he and Eve had eaten forbidden fruit, then you'll see danger has increased. There are things that you didn't have to watch out for before that now you got to watch your kids going down the street or whatever have you. But that's all a product of the curse. That's what's happening in this earth today. Well, the Bible also said in Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation groans, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons of God are basically mature offspring, waiting for these folk to show up because they've got what it takes to straighten some things out. And you and I've been preaching lately on this idea of the supernatural church. And somebody might say, well, why the supernatural? Well, it's all kinds of reasons as to why. But one of the reasons is so we can live like God planned for us to live. So we can live like God plans for us to live. And God never planned for us to live under pressure. Never planned for us to live in the middle of fear and uncertainty. Never planned for us to do that. So Jesus prayed. He said, I pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In heaven there's peace, there's joy, and so forth. And so now when a person gets born again, that person comes into the kingdom of God, which is a government. And he comes into this kingdom of God, and now this person can live in the midst of a earth that's under pressure and so forth, and they can live without pressure. They can live like heaven on earth. And that's the way God wants us to live. Now, I'm saying that because this whole idea of this pressure thing, it comes on people and they lose this rest. Now, where was this rest? This rest was over in Genesis, if you will, if you turn back there with me just a moment. Genesis chapter 2, and this is when God said, God said, God said, and everything God said was. And so now, in Genesis chapter 2, it says, and thus the heavens and the earth were finished, the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now this is interesting, because God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. Finished. And what did Jesus say on the cross, his last words? It's finished. He recovered something. And Adam lost this rest. Now notice what God did. Everything that God made in Genesis chapter 1, the last thing he made was a man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, of the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So you have dominion over creeps. And so then he said in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So in this, God now was not communicating. He was transferring power. And he transferred it to mankind. You got it. Now, Adam now is responsible for running this thing. He, Eve, and their family. And so God intended for mankind to be and have is a very powerful word in the spirit, have dominion. And so now here is the second part of this, chapter 2, where for 6 days God created all these things. But on the seventh day he rested. Now he created mankind at the end of the 6 day. And he created him at the end because mankind was the one who would have rulership over everything else. So he got rulership over it. Everything. Everything that crawls and flies and so forth. Now, how do you know he had it? Because when he sinned, that which was blessed on him turned to be the curse. And now everything that flies, the lamb would eat up the lion. No, the lion would eat up the lamb and so forth. My point to you is, notice how everything was affected. Even the Bible says that the heavenly utensils of God had to be cleansed with blood. So man's authority was powerful. That's why man without God is the most powerful thing in this earth and the most dangerous thing in this earth. Now I'm saying powerful in terms of just mankind, not more powerful than God and those who God is with. My point to you is that here's this man at the end of the 6 day created to be over all of this. So everything was meant to serve him. He wasn't meant to serve anything. Even when mankind sinned, notice what happened, that God came down. He said, Adam, you know, where are you? And Adam began to talk about the woman you gave me and so forth and so on. And in chapter 3, he even talks about in verse 17, and Adam and to Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Talking about plants now. Herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. Now notice what he said in that verse 17. In sorrow and toil, it says over in Amplified. So he's going to have to struggle for everything he's getting. He's sweating it out. And that's why even in the Old Testament, when Moses was making the priest's garments, notice he had to make the garments so that the priest in the temple would not sweat, because it was a curse. Notice when Jesus was being interrogated by the religious leaders. Notice when they pushed something down on his head. What did they push down on his head? Thorns. It represented the curse. Why? Because he took it. He took all of this. And he took this curse. He became a curse for us. So this curse now is operating. So where everything was meant to serve man, now you got things out of order. So now Jesus came back to reorder things. And so I'm saying to you that this whole idea of struggling and toiling came with a curse. So now Jesus comes, and he comes and he says something over in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter, this is a brand new Bible now. I'm trying to get this thing sorted out. Matthew chapter 11. And over in Matthew chapter 11, he said in verse 28, "Come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest." He said, "Now take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Glory to God. Now, most of what Jesus is preaching here is from the Old Testament. He is a fulfillment of some things in this Old Testament. And I'm saying to you now that he's talking about a rest here. He's talking about, wait a minute, where Adam would struggle and what would be on his Adam's mind, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to put on. Jesus preached on that in Matthew chapter 6 and all that. Jesus said, wait a minute, all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things going to be added to you. Now, what does he say? You don't have to struggle anymore. Your days of struggling are over. Your days of toiling are over. Your days of laying up worrying all night are over. Your days of being without are over. Your days of being broke are over. Your days of being sick are over. Your days of being in failure is over. Now, as you fast forward here, you'll see in Luke chapter 5, and this is where Jesus came and was preaching at the shores of Gennesaret, the lake of Gennesaret. And the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 5 of Luke, "And he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he had thrust out a little from the land. And he taught the people out of the ship." Watch this. "And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Let me give you the Living Bible translation. "Launch out into the deep and you will catch a lot of fish." That's what it says. That's what literally he's saying. He's saying, whoa. Come on. Launch out into the deep and you're going to catch a lot of fish. Now, here's what Simon said. Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled." Where did I get toil from? Over there in the curse. "We have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net." And when he had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And what happened to the net? The net broke. Now, he didn't let down nets. What did he let down? One net. And when he let it down, it broke. And then it says here in verse 7, "And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and they that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken." Now, let me put something here and just flip back over here. to Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 10. Over in Proverbs chapter 10, he gives a scripture here, because Jesus is busy preaching from the Old Testament. He's just the fulfillment of what's been already said in the law and the prophets. He says this, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Let me read you that in the NIV translation. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. The blessing of the Lord brings what? Watch what I'm saying. The blessing of the Lord brings what? The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. I got to say it again. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. So what happened? Now let's get your mind and let's go. Here he throws the net out. What happened? When he did that, every fish in that lake tried to get in that net. Do you hear what I'm telling you now? Did you? He didn't have to hope this happens. He didn't have to hope somebody come, I can get a contract for my business tomorrow. He didn't have to hope that I can get enough money. He didn't have to hope that. He knew what he was operating under. He was operating under the same blessing that was in Eden, the same blessing that was on Abraham, the same blessing on Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, that same blessing. And that blessing brings wealth. I said it brings wealth. Now, I want you to hear this now, because somebody said, well, why did the net break? Well, let's just think about this. Did anybody else's net break? None. Why? Because they threw out some good ones. I'm not sure he believed this was going to work, because he left the good one up there to shore. But it didn't make any difference. Those fish tore up that net trying to get in there. And I'm telling you, it was never meant that you just scrounge and hope business comes into your business. It was never meant that you just hope you can make it till payday. It was never meant. I'm telling you that if you don't believe, you won't receive. You've got to be, come on. Jesus had to preach the gospel. He had to tell him, wait a minute, you have rights to be rich. You don't understand that. Wait a minute. Jesus died for you to have this. Say amen to that. Folks, I don't care what you're coming into. A new car, a new home, whatever it is. I got news for you. Jesus paid cash for it. The Bible says he didn't buy it with silver and gold. He bought it with his own blood. Say amen to that. Everything you need, everything you'll ever want has already been put up for you. It's laid in layaway. All you got to use is your faith and take it into your life. You find out about this and believe it. God can't work through you unless you believe. And how can they hear without a who? Preacher. How can they believe unless they've heard? This has got to be preached. I said this has got to be preached. Folks, it wasn't meant that you run after money. It meant for money to run after you. Now, somebody might say, boy, that sounds too good to be true. No, it's gospel. It's good news. he said, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and what am I going to give you? I'm going to give you rest. What is rest? Rest is stepping over into the Sabbath. The Sabbath means I rest, God works. Come on now. The Sabbath means I rest, God works. You remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah had a problem. The enemy had come and taken some of the cities and so forth. Now they were after him. I think you can find this in 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. And what had happened is the Assyrians came on him and he didn't know what to do. I mean, he'd overtaken everything, and now Sennacherib was coming down selling wolf tickets and telling him, hey, you know, you going next, you and so forth. And what did Hezekiah do? He started backing up. All right. Now, let me tell you about the devil. Don't ever start backing up on it, because he's not going to be done till he has your life. So you may as well stand your ground. See, I know we look at ourselves as the army, but actually we're not the one who fights. You look it up sometime in the scriptures, Jehovah Sabaoth. It has to do with the army of the Lord of hosts. And these are angels. See, when you stand, angels fight. Is this the right crowd I'm talking to now? Now, I'm not telling you something I heard. We had to take this whole big shopping mall, this whole thing that he was talking about here, and let me tell you something. In taking that, you're going to have to go up against the devil, big time. Folks, I had to go up against not only the people, the realtor, I had to go up against the village, the city council, everything tried to stop me. But they can't stop God. I said, they can't stop God. Folks, we are not going to leave this earth talking about, beam me up, Scotty. That is not the way we're going to leave this earth. We're going to leave this earth in style. Can I say this without offending anybody? I don't believe we're going to leave this earth with three-week telethons talking about give me your sacrificial seed. We're going to leave this earth with one-day telethon, and when you get that one-day telethon, $1 billion is going to come in, and that's all you got to say. Praise God. Let's continue with our regular programming. That's wealth. And it's yours. When Adam sinned, the devil took it. Jesus technically got it back. And we need that kind of provision to do the job on the level that God wants this job done. Say amen to that. Oh, yeah. I was there. I was unsaved, working for a company called IBM. I was a fighter pilot before, and then I left the military and went and worked for IBM in computers, and they sent me away to school. And then I came back. I was in training for about a year. And then they put me on quota. Quota means that now you're full marketing representative of the company, and you go out and sell computers. But they cut my salary back almost in half. I looked at that check. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What came? Pressure. What was on Peter? Pressure. Got to pay these employees, man. And so what happened? Oh, no, what am I going to do with this? This pressure came on me. What happened? Stomach started giving me problems. When did I go out? Went out and got some Maalox and some Pepto-Bismol. You know, taking a swig about every 3 hours. What's happening? Pressure. Pressure will run your blood pressure up. Pressure will run your sugar up. I'm talking about pressure that you don't even know you're under because you're bottom feeding and don't know it. Come out from under there. It's not the place you're supposed to be. You're a top feeder. And so what happened? Man, what am I going to do here? So this pressure was on me. And that's when I decided I started hearing a man preach or teach on the radio. man you might not have ever heard him before, but he's gone on to be with the Lord. His name was Charles Capps. And I used to hear this music. Now listen at this. No matter what the time may be, it's for the word is working mightily in me. Now, normally, I wouldn't listen to nothing that sounded like that. But he was preaching truth. Peter heard this man, and he was getting desperate. So what happened? Started listening at it. All of a sudden, this man's making some sense. And then one night, I cried out to the Lord. Lord, would you please help me? Now, understand where I'm going now. Everything's backing up on me. I mean, money is short. Don't have anything. Provision pressures. I said, Lord, have mercy. So this sister came, and a few days later after I cried out to the Lord, she said, hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight? Well, I was single. She was single. She looked good. I said, yeah. So, you know, God knows how to get you to a meeting. So what happened? I went to the meeting. Went on up there. Now, I'm driving a Corvette now. Understand, I owe everybody in town. Because that's what bottom feeding will get you. And I'm telling you, I'm here to get you out from under that. You coming out today. Today. You coming out today. So what happened? Went up there. Went in the back door of the auditorium of north side of Chicago. Man saw me. Hey, brother, God loves you, brother. God, I mean, how he zeroed on me, I don't know. But I just melted, broke down. Boom, got saved. Once I got saved, I changed kingdoms. And whenever the kingdom comes, everything changes. Everything changes. So what happened? I started listening. I started hearing that thing like I'd never heard it before. And then I said, hey, I'm about to do this. And he talked about sowing of seed, talking about spiritual law of sowing and reaping, that nothing can, let me use a big word, abrogate it. That means stop it from functioning. And then I start thinking about that. I said, now, wait a minute. Jesus, the Bible says over in John chapter 12, verse 24, verily, unless a seed fall to the ground and dies, it dwells alone. But if it does die, it'll bring forth much fruit. I said, now, Jesus was talking about himself. And I said, so he was a seed who got planted. And they came out and went to Pilate and got Pilate to seal up the tomb, thinking they could stop this seed from coming to harvest. But let me guarantee you, if you're sowing seed, nothing can stop it. So check it out. So here I am. Next thing I know, I said, I'm going to work this thing. So I sowed some seed. Now, understand, I sowed it out of my need. And when I did that, all of a sudden, business started coming. Same thing, Peter sowed his boat. What happened? The fish started coming. Come on, help me now. And so what happened? Next thing I know, I'm rising to the top. Now, I'm going into my boss. Watch this. Hey, Warren, what do you need this month? Oh, Bill, can you help me out this month? Now, he's my manager, and he's got all these marketing reps working for him, but he's below his numbers. He needs some help. So I'm being blessed. So I'm going into him, and I say, what do you need? Now, check it out. I discovered that that job is not there to meet my needs. I'm there to meet its needs. Once you come into the kingdom, everything changes. I said, okay. He said, I need this and this and this. I said, okay, give me all of that. I'll do that. Boom. Worked it. Boom. What did I do? Get promoted. Same thing. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to get promoted. Next thing that happened, I'm a manager now. Boom, economic drought. All us managers going out, having lunch, having a giant pity party. Boy, things sure are bad. And you know, this company is putting all this pressure on us to get this business. I mean, what are we going to do and so forth? And then God caught me and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm crying. I'm having a pity party. He said, I taught you better than that. You see what I'm saying? Whatever you start in faith, you got to stay in faith. And so what happened next? Okay. This is the end of the month. Last day of the month. I come in that morning. Not only do I have no business, I'm negative. Like most of the other managers. Watch this. My sister calls, 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, she's worked for IBM. She's working for the company, too. Well, how are you doing this month, brother? Watch what I say. Check it out. You call me back at 5 o'clock today, and I'll have more business than I can put on the books. Y'all looking at me like a calf with a new gate. Look here, man. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you launch out into the deep and let down your nets and you will catch fish. Death and life are where? In the power of your tongue. You cannot speak death all day and expect life. He said, I've set before you life, death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose what? Life, that you and your seed may live. You can't say, God, you run on that street. You keep going. You're going to get hit. You can't say that. I'm just saying you got to say what you want to happen. And what did I say? I said it. And once I said it and hung that phone up, that devil said, why did you say that? I said, Lord have mercy. Why did I say that? Now, what are you doing? Out of the abundance of the heart. Come on, come on, come on. The mouth is going to speak. Sometimes your mouth is going to say stuff that your head can't digest. And what you got to do is let it rip, brother. You got to say it. He shall live and not die. You will be healed whole. Come on. My money will come in this month. You got to say something. So what happened? About 12 o'clock in the daytime, here comes my marketing reps calling. Hey, Bill, I just got a big order in so-and-so. Hey, Bill, I said, bring it on in. At 5 o'clock, I was over in the administration section booking all this business. I booked enough for Bill Winston. I booked enough for Leo Weirenbeck. I booked enough for Bill Adrian. I was booking for the whole office. Booked enough. My manager, my boss's boss looked over my shoulder and said, Bill, that's enough. Let's save some for next month. I'm telling you, you're not there to get something from them. You're there to give something to them. Watch this. And 20 years later, here comes the next door marketing manager, and he comes to my church saying this, I remember what you did. I want to be saved. I'm here to tell you right now, Peter went to his knees and said, away from me. I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Now, where will this work? It'll work anywhere. In the ghetto? It'll work in the Sahara? It'll work anywhere. It's not based on the environment. It's based on God. It's based on God. So, what am I saying? The same thing that happened over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And this starts at verse 15. I won't go there because I need to move quickly here. But he said to them, he said to disciples, They said, send them away now, it's getting dark, so they can go into the villages and buy themselves some food. It's what Jesus said. Feed them. Boy, I'm telling you, man, feed them. See, the word house a lot of times in the Hebrew means family. And when they refer to it, Abraham had 318 servants born in his own what? House. See, that he had to feed them all. See? And what happens with people is sometimes they are heavy laden because they just took it on themselves. You were never meant to take care of yourself. Come on now. My God shall, come on, supply all your need. I like what one of my friends said. He said, he's got this big ministry, you know. He said, man, this thing is always operating beyond my head. He said, let me tell you, when some big bill comes in, I just take it and hold it up and say, Jesus, you got mail. I'm here to tell you right now. Listen, he's going to keep that pressure off of him. Because that pressure is designed to do something. Here's what the woman said in 2 Kings chapter 4. She said, she went to the prophet and cried to the man of God, said, my husband is dead, and my husband did fear the Lord. Now, you've left my children here, and they're about to come and take my children and put them in bondage. What are you going to do about it? You got what I'm saying? Now, notice, under pressure, because of debt. Husband died. I'm telling you, this pressure is designed to take you out early. But you're not going. Because you're listening to Bill Winston, and you just learned that you're going to be anxious for nothing. You're not going to worry about a thing. You're going to hold it up and say, Jesus, you got mail. Now you tell me what you want me to do. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, here's one thing that the enemy wants. He knows the Bible talks about the fact that God, let me just turn to this. This is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now check it out. This is God's will for you. That your whole spirit, soul, come on, and body be what? Preserved. Now, I might take you a little far right now, but just hold on to me. Can you do that? Can you just let me preach? This man of God that I know said he is preaching on miracles. And he said the lady was listening to him, and she had gone to the physician. The physician said, well, what you're going to have is your cartilage in your knees, or it's gone. And because of that, you don't have, you know. And so what you're going to have to do is get knee replacements and so forth. She came to the church. And when she came to the church, she heard the man of God preaching. She believed what she heard. He was talking about you can get new knees. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to now? See, we read with God all things are possible, but do we believe that? So I'm telling you now, God has a warehouse. Let's just put that in our thinking. He's got a warehouse, and he knew something was going to happen. He knew perhaps in time that because of the way you lived or because of the DNA track in your family, that the cartilage was going to wear out and so forth. But he thought about that because he wants you to live long and strong. So he thought about that. So he put some new knees in inventory. Come on. He put some new lungs because he knew you were going to smoke too many cigarettes when you was unsaved. He put some new hair. Come on now. He put some new toes. He put some new fingernails. He put some new eardrums. Come on. He put some new, I'm saying that's what he put. Say amen. And I'm telling you right now, before we leave here, he never did plan you to leave here without your stuff. Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 19. And it says it. This is what God told Moses. I am sure that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Now, by a mighty hand, what does that mean? It means, I look up a translation. Not unless he's forced to do so. He said, but when you leave here, you will not go empty. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, Pharaoh, when Pharaoh first, he wanted to keep him in bondage, and that's the devil. He doesn't want to let you go. If you're in debt, he wants to keep you in debt. If you're sick, he wants to keep you sick. Come on, if you have a marriage problem, he wants to keep you with marriage problems. But God's got some plans for you. He plans for you to be preserved, spirit, soul, and body. He plans for you to have the joy of the Lord. Come on, he plans for everything you do prosper. He plans for you to own cities. Glory to God. So what happened? Watch this. And so in this particular case, this woman, what'd she do? She heard that word, and the Holy Spirit prompted her. He said, get up and run. She jumped up out of that chair and took off. And when she took off, lo and behold, next thing you know, it knees formed in them knees where she didn't have no knees. She transferred some knees right down from the warehouse of heaven. Come on. If she can transfer some knees, you can transfer a new uterus. Come on. You can transfer new breasts. Come on. Another friend of mine, he said that what happened was the woman. Lord have mercy. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, your son has jaundice. He said, no, he don't. He said, look at his eyes. Look at his eyes. He has jaundice. He said, no, he doesn't. Watch this. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And he walked out of the place. And one day, his eyes had cleared up and everything. I'm saying, thank God for the doctor, but I got the doctor that won't lose the case, man. I know the doctor that can take care of you like nobody can take care of you. Sit down. So what did the devil do with Moses? Three times he negotiated. He said, listen, I'm going to let y'all go. Now, this is after the pressure. But don't go far. Moses said, not so. No deal. Okay. After a few more of those miracles, Pharaoh said, okay, tell you what, I'm going to let you go, but let me keep the kids. Moses said, no deal. Watch out now, because Satan's a negotiator. Come on now. Last thing he said, Moses, now, tell you what, y'all go ahead, but let me keep all the livestock. What do you think Moses said? No deal. You see, God plans to strip Satan, and he's going to use you to do it. Say no deal. Come on, say no deal. Don't let him back you up not one bit more. No more fear. No more toil. No more lack. See, you got to start saying it. Here's what you can say. By March 31st, watch this. I'll owe no man nothing but to love him. Check it out. When you say that, you don't know how you're going to do it. You don't know how. But that's the rest. He said, you plant that seed and it'll come up. You knoweth not how. You don't need to know how this works. Just understand that it works. Embrace it. Commit to it. Now, the last thing I want to say. The things that God told me to do, I had to do them by faith. I have never had enough money to do what God told me to do when he told me to do it. But faith is the currency of the kingdom. So now, who is this battle? Who, that's it. The battle is not yours. The battle is God's. And you don't have to struggle with this thing anymore. God was even teaching me how to handle my wife. I mean, when I say that, I mean, well, hold on now. Hold on. I haven't finished the sentence yet. She might be looking at this. I got to go home. And so what happened, we first got married. It was kind of, you know, all kissy face and so forth. Now, this is over 30 years ago. And then about 6 months later, something started talking to me and said, you married the wrong woman. I said, did I? Yeah, see. You thought she could cook, didn't you? I said, well, yeah, I did think she could cook. Look, taste that roast. Taste it. Taste it. So what happened here? I said, Lord, have mercy. So that thing started working on me. Because Satan works with seed. And so what happened? I went to a meeting, heard a man preach, came out and bought a book called Praying God's Word. Came out and got that book and began to read prayers. I started reading one for my wife because I don't need no prayer. And that's what I thought. But I started reading. I thank you, Lord. My wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, of discontent and self-pity she does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house. She assigns her maids a task. She does not court neglect of her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. She looks well on how things go in our household. The word is working mightily in our marriage, and we've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our minds. And once I finish praying that, once I finish praying that, the devil will say, that ain't true. Now, is that true? Check it out. Every word of that is scripture. Every word is scripture. Just let y'all hear my clock. But every word is scripture. And my point to you is what did I do? I spoke the word. Life and death are where? And when I spoke that word, something began to happen because you can release the word into the atmosphere and things begin to change. All of a sudden, what happened? Something started changing in me. Well, what changed in me? What changed in me is the image that was put in me when I used to see my parents fussing and fighting, and pretty soon they got a divorce. And what did that thing end up? As an image inside of the sun. And so now when I get into a relationship, the devil's tearing it up. Why? Because of something invisible, something unseen inside. But the word of God is designed to dig it out. To dig it out. Today, we've been married over 30 years. Watch this. And I have a marriage made in heaven. Made in heaven. You see, he's done all the work. Your labor is in the word. It wasn't like I did. I went to IBM and they cut back my check and I went and got another job. So I got two jobs. I remember a man told me he had five jobs and the postman stole his wife. And now my point to you is, I'm just going to say something. You follow what I'm saying, don't you? No. A person is not poor because they have no money. They're poor because they have no knowledge. When you receive the kingdom, everything changes. So what did I do? Just to let you know what I did. I worked at two jobs until I got born again. And then I saw something. Wait a minute. My problem is really not money. My problem is my knowledge. And I shifted my thinking. No longer did I see the job as my source. If anything, that's my seed. And what happened? Today, our own jets out there waiting for us, intercontinental, flying all over the world. Watts says, not only that, he said, I want you to put up a business school. I said, Lord, I don't know how. He said, take Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, which teacheth thee to profit and lead thee by the way that thou should go. Take it and meditate it day and night. Once you meditate it day and night, all of a sudden, I'm not going to only show you a picture of it, but I'm going to show you how to do it. And I got two people to start it for me. Dolores, she has a background from Harvard University, and Ray has her husband has his from University of Chicago, both MBAs. I said, I want you to help me start the school. Go out, tell me, come back and tell me how long it's going to take to start it. She said, okay. They went back, came back and told me, Pastor, it's going to take 1 to 2 years to get it started. I said, let me take that home and pray about it. I prayed about it. The Holy Spirit said, wait a minute, I'm going to move you at the speed of the Spirit. He said, it's going to be started in 2 months. I said to them, it will be started in 2 months. What did they do? They took my word, the word of the prophet, and they went out with my word, and they went out and began to speak my word. Next thing you know, we started in 2 months. It is now fully certified by and accredited, and all we're planning it in every nation all over now. I'm telling you right now, we're going to take back the economics of the earth. Praise God. Give God praise. He's well able. Now, what he's got inside of you is genius. Somebody said, well, you know, this runs in my family. You're in another family. You're in the family of Almighty God. Stop confessing asthma. Stop confessing shortage. Stop confessing that stuff. You're in another DNA track now. God has rekeyed your genes. Now just say what God said, and he's going to preserve you. You're going to be living long, and you're going to be strong. And guess what? Not only is he going to protect you, but your whole household, your kids will be blessed of the Lord. Say amen. So right now, in the name of Jesus, whatever's been harassing you will harass you no more. Whatever's been holding you back will hold you back no more. Whatever's been stolen from you is coming back 7 times. This is your year for miracles. Glory to God. Woo-wee. Come on, give God praise. Give him praise. Receive it. Come on, receive it. Come on, receive it. Lift your hands to heaven. You got to receive it. He told Mary, you're going to have a baby. She said, how is this going to happen to me? He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. And that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be the Son of God. She said, well, be it unto me. Lift your hands and say, be it unto me. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. God bless you in Jesus' name.
You are so... Come on, if you receive something from the Word of God today, why don't you give honor to Pastor Bill? Give him a good God bless you.